PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back for episode 17 of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, aka Canadan Golf on social media, aka Twitter. And actually, I don't have a co-host today, per usual of the Rob Miller version.
Time.
So I got a fresh one. I got a new look for the day. Some of you may know him. You could say he orchestrates a lot of engagement on the online community. His name is Josh Babbitt, aka JB. Welcome, Joshua.
I appreciate you having me on. It's nice to know Rob took a vacation from not having a job. He is the George Costanza of golf podcasting.
I thought his job was Twitter.
I think it is.
Okay. He's got that Name the Pro, which obviously is a full-time job in itself. So did you see the one today? I think the one today is Daily eating a hamburger from McDonald's.
I'm not sure I follow him. What's his Twitter handle?
At Rob Miller Time.
At Rob Miller Time. Yes, I did see it, and it was John Daly.
It made me want a McDouble for sure.
Everybody knows you get a double cheeseburger, not a McDouble, but you're already taking me off course when I tell you guys to stay on course.
Yeah. That's a PGA show necessity is sushi followed by McDoubles and or double cheeseburgers and a happy meal for M Ward if he's listening in.
He's not.
Well, today, Josh, I'm normally really excited because we record on Thursday morning or afternoon. And what that feels like for us, because I have PGA Tour Live, I just put it on. We are obviously in video. I can see you, you can see me. This is normal for me and Rob. So I put on the golf and we watch it during our recording. Today is a little different. And it sucks because it's major week and I was pumped for the first and maybe only major of the year. And it's behind a paywall. Did you pay the $5 ESPN Plus surcharge to enjoy golf?
No, I didn't. And I'm going to rant a little bit here, but cut me off at any point in time. I am for, as a capitalist, the apps even paying. I joined PGA Tour Live. I have a lot of different ones. I'm still a cable user. What I'm not for is a COVID year where golf has been cut short. And this being the first major, again, like you said, possibly the only major, although I still think we'll have another one. And not being able to view it, it doesn't sound as an inclusive golf thing rather than an exclusive golf thing, but I'm not a huge ESPN fan, and that's why I'm not going to support that.
See, I think it's tough. I understand that there's money to be made, and they have to do it in their own way. My biggest problem with this is that ESPN Plus is not a service I'm interested in. Whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, that's fine. As a golf fan, I did invest in PGA Tour Live this year, and I'm glad I did. I've enjoyed it immensely. The biggest problem I have is when you put that experience behind a paywall, it's not like we're talking about Saturday, Sunday. That's all on cable. I don't have that either, so I'm just bitter in general. But we are talking about the early morning shuffling of scores that Thursday and Friday bring. This isn't about exposing the experience of the course. Overall, it's about giving a little bit of an extended view on what should be a very exciting major. And instead of doing that, instead of showcasing that and saying, hey, come enjoy golf and enjoy the extent of it if you have the time, they're saying, hey, if you want to enjoy this, you have to pay into it, which just blows my mind.
I tend to agree with you, and I'll take it a step further. Not only are you paying for it, it's not commercial free. So they bought the TV rights with the idea of commercials, and I'm fully supportive of that. I support advertising. I think advertising can be fun, but I'm not for paying for something, also getting advertising and limiting your audience in this type of year. That's where I struggle with it so much. And to take it even a step further, they're making such a huge deal about this being played at a public course open to anybody who wants to play it, but you can't view it. That's absurd.
Yeah,
you got me all worked up already.
If a pay for major happens in the forest, does it make a sound? Wait, what?
You lost me.
It's such a weird thing. I don't know. I was so excited for this major, and I guess maybe we've been spoiled by majors of the past. Like you said, I don't have a problem with advertising. I don't have a problem with every 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, throw a commercial break at me. I mean, heck, we paid our subscription to PGA Tour Live. We get commercials through that. And now we have
3 minutes of golf, 2 minutes of commercials.
Yeah. But now we have this where you have to pay into it, then get your commercial. It just seems weird to me. And maybe that, like I said, maybe it's just that we're truly spoiled.
I think that's part of it. Like I said, I normally don't necessarily have a problem with this. I understand that the rights cost money and everybody's trying to make money here. My issue goes back to this being such a unique year, making such a big deal about how they're doing it at a place where anybody can come and play. But who would know that unless you're paying money to watch it? And this goes back to what I think was the death of boxing when it went strictly to pay-per-view. There's a million other things. Golf is such a niche sport already, making it inaccessible. Is that even a word? I'm not sure.
It is now. If it wasn't.
Exactly. It is a tough call. Now, I do have cable or satellite in this case. My wife is a big fantasy footballer for those following along at home. So we have satellite. So Dan will be able to watch Sunday because he's going to be paying a visit. And at least we get to see the final, whatever it is, and hopefully it's a good one, because I think this PGA has a chance to be really, really good.
So I didn't have this on our scheduled docket for today, but do you have any sort of predictions for who's coming out on top on this one?
I said for a couple of weeks now that I thought I would like Xander this week. I feel like he's on the cusp of greatness. He just needs that to come over it. I'd be lying if I didn't say that if you gave me every tournament lined up in a row at the beginning of the year and to pick who would win, that I wouldn't choose Bryson in every event, as polarizing as that is. I did pick him before COVID, that I did pick him to win the PGA Championship at this course. So we'll see how that plays out, but I like Xander and I like Bryson, and, There's a lot of storylines here, though. Spieth going for the Grand Slam, although not doing so well this morning. Tiger making a comeback, which it feels like every time he tees it up, it's making a comeback now. And there's a lot of them. And the course. And the course has special. I've actually played this course before, which is pretty cool.
So you mentioned Tiger. Obviously, things are not primed for a victory, being that he's only played a few rounds of tournament golf this year so far. The cool weather, he believes, will be challenging for him from a personal health perspective on his back. We saw him all bundled up this morning, rocking the gator around his neck. He looked like he was going to play a local round with the boys in late November up here in Ohio.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah. So what about Tony Finau? He's -3 right now through 12 holes. He's always an interesting story, but I feel like between him and Fowler, they're taking turns as who gets to be the Chick-fil-A player of the week.
Well, I would say Tony Finau is ultimately Chick-fil-A. I mean, he hasn't won. I take that back. He won that offshoot event, but he hasn't really won, whereas Ricky's at least come through in some major spots. But, you know, when I gave him that nickname years ago, I didn't actually think it would stick. But Tony Finau needs to figure out something on Sundays, because it's bad.
Really, I'm just working on sponsorships for off course, and I figured Chick-fil-A would be a good start.
They would be. They make delicious chicken.
Yeah, they sure do, especially with one sauce instead of seven.
I'm going to take you right off course right now.
Let's do it.
What is the best food to eat for a major?
Oh, man. If I'm sitting at home not being able to watch it?
Well, let's assume you can. Now, I understand for people that are big Masters fans, they're going to say like pimento cheese sandwiches and stuff, which, by the way, pimento cheese is disgusting. But for an actual major, you know, for the Super Bowl, you think of pizza and wings and all that stuff. What do you think of for major golf? Like, what do you want to eat that Sunday?
How do you feel about nachos?
I like nachos.
I think that's like, because
Can you do nachos in a COVID area where it's kind of communal food, though?
Well, you can split it up on plates. Use a like little shovel-esque utensil from the kitchen to separate it. I don't know. Because I think about golf, you don't really start at dinner time, right? You start pretty early on in the day and you roll through.
It's the middle of the afternoon.
So you definitely need one of those transition foods. So maybe like a buffalo chicken dip or, like I said already, nachos. Maybe this is like a finger food experience for the majors.
So I had sliders written down because I've obviously thought of this. Yeah. Sliders. I had wings, but I feel like that's a little too messy.
Okay.
You know, golf is a neat sport. You might have your white pants on from playing. But nachos could work. I struggle with the communal side of it. I had mini sandwiches and, you know, things like that. But chips and dip is a good one. Again, communal. I don't know how.
So this is like a
more weird about this stuff.
This is like a laid on barbecue / casual food experience, basically.
Yeah. Banana pudding, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I know a thing or two about banana pudding.
Yeah. I can tell from your Canadian roots.
Yeah. How is the banana pudding in Nashville, Josh?
It's quite good.
Is it?
I'd be lying if I said I haven't had it a lot.
How about Brooks Koepka? Let's get back on it a little bit. Is the story with him is always he doesn't care enough about golf until it's a major. He's -2 through 10, so better than usual. Is this like the kickstart for the year for him? Does he look at a Sunday late pairing? What do you think?
Well, I think last week was the kickstart for the year. You know, he was defending and until the end there kind of was doing something pretty special. He'd be in rare company if he were to win this, right? I mean, this would be a three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's been done in decades.
I definitely did not prepare that statistic to share with the masses. And
I appreciate you being wrong here for this, but... but I don't think Tiger or Jack ever did it, did they?
I don't believe so.
You're guessing right now, aren't you?
I'm very, very much guessing. I got Google at the cusp of my fingers and I refuse to touch it.
I think if there's nothing else, that's got to kickstart him. And he's the ultimate troll. I wish he would use his social media sometimes instead of trying to be funny, to be a bit more, beloved. Maybe beloved isn't the right word because I don't really care if people are liked or not, but to be a bit more useful, you know, instead of worrying about what the trolls say to you, give that guy who's your fan a little thumbs up.
Yeah, we said the same thing about JT not too long ago, focusing up on his dad taking a picture with him, and he kind of caught some guy off guard who threw a little shade at him. And I agree with you. I think using social media as a positive is definitely a good thing because you have a chance of not just defining or not just making someone's day, but defining who they care about when they turn the TV on to watch golf.
I said this to a forum member on our community probably 6 or 7 years ago to somebody who was a friend of yours. And we were talking about social media and the world of golf with golf industry companies. And I said, he was a fan of a brand that had very little at the time social media presence. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if that company that you dedicate so much time and money and everything towards acknowledged your existence? And he said, yes, he didn't care. That Titleist wasn't big on social. And I explained that they were changing and things like that. But he said it would have meant something to him had they acknowledged it. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing goes with golfers. If you have a number one fan, like acknowledge them.
Yeah, especially if you see the same name
through your social, but yeah, at least acknowledge it.
Over the course of the year, it's pretty clear who tags repeatedly. I mean, we all know what a notification looks like, and maybe theirs is different from ours, but you have an opportunity to go in and really change or provide an amazing experience for someone who invests that kind of time in you or your brand. I think it's so, so valuable.
Do you think Brooks Koepka has any diehard Brooks Koepka fans?
I think he does. Seriously. I really do. Because he's super polarizing, right? What's that?
He's got skills. He's a multiple major winner. He was great in college. He's loud at times, but he kind of fades to the back throughout stretches. So I didn't know if there were like Brooks Koepka fans. Are people buying his outfits and shoes and things like that? I don't know.
The ones with the tags on them?
Yeah.
Is he wearing tie-dye shoes this week?
I don't know. I'm not allowed to watch the event.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you either.
Those two are horrible.
I don't know. I think that because he is kind of like the go against the grain kind of presentation, whether true or not, it gets people to bunker down with him and you know, try and support. He's such a weird follow. And I think the dude's funny. I think some of his shots are hilarious. What he did last week, whether or not you like Bryson, I've finally come around and I think Bryson is fascinating at this point and I'd love to see him win. But the stuff with the fire ants and then BK the next day comes out and goes, "You see that ant over there?" And nah, I'm just messing with you. Like, that's funny. That's legitimately funny.
I can't quite figure it out. I mean, Nike just made a shirt with based on his Brinks truck comment.
Well,
I also can't figure it out, and I think that he likes it this way, of whether or not he's passionate about golf the way I am and the way a lot of golfers are, or if he's passionate about the way that he plays the game enough to support a lifestyle he wants.
Yeah, that's an interesting take, and I've read some of his feedback that he's given in interviews that say, well, you know, I don't think golf needs to be the way it is. I don't have a problem going out with my hat backwards, a t-shirt untucked and blah, 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 and playing golf. It just, to me, it's like, all right, I think you're playing a sport and obviously doing very well with it and having great success, but it's almost like you play a sport despite the sport. There's other comments where he said, you know, I'd rather play, I think it was baseball. I wish I'd played baseball. To me, that those are always really hard to get behind them, because as it is for me, I'm massively passionate about the game of golf, and I just don't see eye to eye in that mentality. I like the structure that's in place of the game. I like that you're separated from some of the other nonsense that goes on in this world when you go play, and to kind of work against that and speak against that is really tough for me.
Let me ask you this, and it kind of segues from Brooks about talking about majors, because Brooks is a guy who has as many major wins as he has wins.
Mm-hmm.
Is the major overvalued or undervalued currently?
Yeah, I feel like, especially for purists, I'm the worst person to talk to about that, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts as well. I don't take majors anywhere nearly as serious as others, especially from a career standpoint. Now, I think it's great to win a major. I think it's very prestigious. But when it comes down to how many times you've won, if someone wins 20 times on tour, but only wins one major, that doesn't bother me. If someone wins 20 times or 10 times on tour, but five of them are majors, I'm still probably leaning towards a guy with 20 wins as what's more impressive to me.
I kind of fall on both sides. Now, I've been on record as saying that I think the WGC events, while great for the fans, and at the end of the day, that's what it matters, has in some ways ruined the tournament game of golf for records, because you have the top 64 playing half a dozen times a year, it seems like, but obviously four. Plus you have the tour championship with the FedEx Cup, plus you have the Sawgrass event each year, which probably has the deepest field in all of golf. And the majors jumping around from course to course, with the exception of one, kind of take on a little life of their own. The Open Championship, basically, it depends on if you flip a coin and get the luck of the draw on the weather. The PGA Championship is the one with the guys nobody's ever heard of early on. The U.S. Open is laughable from a setup standpoint, to where people are going to be hitting seven irons off the tee. And then you have the Masters, and I view the Masters differently. I think that when you win that one, it's more than a tour event. But I've kind of come around to a little bit of your thinking, because I'll use a guy like Jordan Spieth as an example, who the start of his career rivals anybody in the history of golf. Now, granted, he went the David Caruso path of get to the top and then fall quickly off a cliff, but some of his wins weren't at prestigious golf tournaments. I mean, the John Deere, he won in Tampa, which is now the Valspar, and some of those. So I don't know, you know, did Tony Finau even win a tour event if it's an opposite field event? So from that aspect, I get strength of schedule, but I don't view these the same as I used to. Is a guy who wins five tournaments better than the guy who wins one major?
Yeah, that's the one that's always really hard for me, because I would always
be a top ranking professional because he won a major.
Yeah, I would always. I would always lean on the guy with five wins, because that's consistency over time, not just over a four-day flash of greatness. Now, obviously, you need to be able to get into a major, which isn't the, you know, straight away, especially going to Augusta, places like that. But, you know, I look at some of these setups as well, like Chambers Bay or, I mean, you can run down the list of U.S. Opens where you looked at that, the conditions there. It's not like skilled golf. It's luck golf that can sometimes mean win. Like we're talking about hitting the ball 2 feet from the pin, and one guy stops on a dime and the other guy rolls magically off the green. Like that to me isn't what pure skill is about. That's pure luck.
Yeah. And I think in some ways we've seen that described by some tour players going all the way to Phil Mickelson, kind of making a joke about it when he stopped the ball on the green, which I thought was hysterical. He was making a statement.
Yeah.
So if a guy, let's take a player, fill in the blank. Let's take Justin Thomas, because we've talked about this on our online forum. And let's take a guy like Jordan Spieth. If their careers ended right now, who had the better career?
Man, do you have the numbers up?
No. I know Justin's got one major and Jordan's got more than that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have three or four.
To me. God, what wasn't that like a decade ago now?
I feel like he's got three. I feel like it. We're horrible hosts for not knowing.
Yeah. Well, you're the one that asked the question.
But so if their career ended right now, you know, let's say next year and neither one of them pick up another major, is his career better? I don't know the answer to that. Does Patrick Reed get more value than a Bryson DeChambeau, let's say, because he has the major win, even though Bryson's arc is going substantially in a different direction and has won recently?
Yeah, right now I'm leaning JT. There's consistency across the board. It's not a flash in the pan. And obviously, Jordan had great success for a certain amount of time, but it just, to me, doesn't come close to matching.
Okay, I'll ask it this way, because this is an interesting one. Let's say Tony Finau wins the Masters this year.
Okay.
Is his career better than Ricky Fowler's?
No, not in my books. Definitely not in my books. Not to mention,
you know, he'd have two wins, one of them being a major, whereas Ricky has four on the PGA Tour, one of them being the Sawgrass event.
I was going to say one half of them being a major.
Yeah, the Players Championship. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, it is.
Is there a ratio? Is it like four PGA Tour wins equal a major, or the majors just watered down a little bit to you?
Right. I think that for me, it's about play over time, and I don't think it'll ever go away from that. You see a guy like Fowler. Yeah. His win numbers are not that impressive, but he's always been relevant ever since he got on tour, ever since he started playing decent golf. He's always been somewhat relevant throughout it. Now, obviously he's had great success with Puma and Cobra. So he's sold a lot of product for them, very appealing to the younger crowd with the way he dressed back in the day. But I think it has to be relevant to the way you play at some point, right? And I think he doesn't have a ton of highs and lows the way some of these guys do, like Brooks Koepka as an example. Big lows, unless it's major season, whereas a guy like Fowler, kind of like flat all the way across. Do you think Fred Couples is a decent example of someone who's like that? Now, obviously, he had more wins, but you know,
not
he's just
a
had
more.
A lot of success all the way through his career, and he becomes beloved because of that, right?
Yeah, I think so. And it was a different era, so it's hard to compare it a little bit. That was hard to say. But Freddie was also the most dominant player on tour for at least a year. It was arguable too. Davis Love was up there too. But he didn't have a longevity success as far as being dominant. He had that quick run of dominance and has been consistently good, especially at Augusta National, for decades. Brooks is kind of, you could make the case that if Brooks doesn't win anymore, he went through that stretch. the Jordan Spieth stretch where they get hot, they roll the rock, they do everything well, and then they fade off into oblivion. I don't think that with Brooks. I think he's got too much game to go that route. But it is interesting to see, as people talk of, well, majors win more, so there's that. And I'm just not sure that I can sign up for that.
I got the numbers on Spieth and Thomas for you. I worked pretty hard to do this. You ready? So yep. Spieth has 14 career wins, 11 on the PGA. He's got all three majors with a second place at the PGA in 2015.
Okay.
Our boy Justin Thomas has 14 wins as well, 13 on the tour, and he has one major
PGA Tour wins.
He has one major, which is PGA, and then he's tied 11th, tied 9th, and tied 12th. In his other
thing about Justin Thomas, a little known stat, is he's one of only a handful of golfers, maybe 10 total, I guess that would be two handful, that have won every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Jordan hasn't done that. He's gone 3 years now without a victory. So I think that part of that is, as sports fans, we have shorter memories too. I mean, Jordan's career was exceptional early on. So maybe it's not the best comparative because they have the same amount of wins, but I would say the career arc for Justin Thomas currently is significantly better. Also, he can play 27 holes in the time it takes Jordan Spieth to play 18.
All right. I'm going to go on a slightly different direction with the questioning, because we did talk about difficulty as it relates to a major and the value in winning that. So there's actually a really nice sample out there where a golf course was played normally and an impressive win, the second career win for Colin Morikawa. And then Jack decided to destroy the course for the following week, which was played on the same venue. And it was won by Mr. John Rahm in a very strange 76 finishing day round. Do you find one of those victories more impressive than the other?
I don't know if I'd say more impressive. I thought Colin Morikawa played exceptional golf, and I've mentioned this on social media that he and I have the identical swing and tempo, other than his is smooth, is on the right plane, and makes better contact. It's otherwise identical. I don't know if I'd say one. I'll say it, and if people aren't going to like it, John Rahm freaking cheated. There's no doubt in my mind he knew what he was doing. With that said, it doesn't take away from his game. But if Bryson or Pat Reed had done what John Rahm did with fluffing down the grass, they would have been blasted for it.
Do you think, I don't understand, do you think John Rahm gets a pass? Because from the perspective of guys who should probably get blasted for acting like an idiot, John Rahm is very much on the top of my list.
Yeah, but John Rahm's not really in the discussion of golf for the most part, which is crazy considering how talented he is.
Right.
I mean, he is incredibly talented and from all accounts, a super guy, just not on the golf course. But I mean, think about this. Forget the tantrums every nine holes. If Patrick Reed or Bryson DeChambeau had done what he did, accidental or not, do you think that it would have been a slightly different discussion? The discussion would still be going on.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. I think because the perspective is maybe a little bit different from these are things that, like, for example, Reed in the bunker, everyone knows you can't do that. You can't rake sand away from your ball, regardless of where you are. From a ball settling, maybe it's not as familiar of a rule. So
maybe, I mean, it seems like it's pretty obvious for golfers. That you're taking hacks before your practice swing. Your ball is not supposed to move. You're not supposed to fluff the grass behind the ball to give yourself a cleaner look. That seems pretty obvious.
Right. I don't know. But, you know, it all comes back to my question is, which of those victories were more impressive? Now, I watched
probably
both.
Rahm's.
Really?
Yeah, because the course was set up harder. You know, Jack saw people light up his course the week before and figured can't have that. And hell, he already saw him tear up the course during play just so Jack could flex his muscles.
Yeah.
The last time I thought the course was a disaster during the Rahm victory, the second week there, I thought it was horrible.
I really did want to put on a blast, which is why I even created the scenario, but it reminds me a lot of what they've done to some of these US Open venues. They've put it at the brink or worse than at the brink, made it almost unplayable. And basically the luckiest ball, the most accurate yet luckiest ball wins. Is that not?
I love the idea and premise behind risk reward golf, you know, the short par fours that are drivable, but guess what? You could end up in the water or in a tough lie or thick rough if you do it. I hate the idea that you are forcing guys to hit five irons off the tee because everything is so sloped and outrageous that it's not really even golf anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always been one of those like accuracy over anything kind of guys. And if that means that soft fairways are prevalent and firm greens continue on, I'm good with that. I want to see these guys throw darts, which is why Morikawa 62 will sit a lot heavier in my mind as a positive than John Rahm 76. It just, to me, that's not golf. We're getting very close to having a windmill and the holes. You got to pick one of the three before you get the right one.
I'm going to catch you completely off guard here with completely going off course.
Let's do it.
I'm going to name five tour players that we've been discussing, and you have to name the food that corresponds with them.
Oh, good Lord.
Call it a speed round, so to speak, except nothing we planned, and I'm going completely off the cuff.
Yeah, no, let's
do it. And I'm sure that it's going to end up being somehow inappropriate.
Yeah.
And we don't mean it that way. Okay, you ready?
All right.
John Rahm.
Oh, hot dogs.
I was thinking meatballs, but I'll give
you... Well, I almost said something. Yeah, I'm not. No, I'm good. Hot dogs.
Justin Thomas.
Hamburgers.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I feel like he's so skinny. He's like Kate Moss at this point. You know what? A chopped salad.
Probably like a Chipotle kind of guy.
Yeah, he probably is a Chipotle kind of guy.
Yeah.
Jordan Spieth.
Oh, it's got to be something like pulled pork something.
And finally, Tony Finau.
I don't know.
What did I do to your poor show?
I'm trying to because I know what the world is right now. I can't say something to match up their where they come from or their perspective like that. But I think he's from like Missouri. What are they in Missouri? He's from Kansas?
He lives in Utah.
He does live in Utah now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm bad at these. I have no
Clearly.
Idea. You want me to do it back to you?
Hamburgers for Justin Thomas.
I have no idea. I'm trying to be safe.
We might have to discuss this further on social media.
Oh my
god. At Canadian Golf for those who want to follow him.
Yeah, yeah.
Or,
all right, I'm doing it to you. You ready?
And go for it.
All right, Phil Mickelson.
Oh, definitely like a chai tea latte.
What?
Well, he's into that weird drinking coffee, and I love seeing Phil do well, and he's playing great golf right now. But yeah, it's like some sort of chai tea or something.
Dustin Johnson.
I can give you his ordering process.
No,
it goes something like this. Can I? And then we have to move to the next person.
So I don't get one.
No.
Okay, Rory McIlroy.
Oh, I would think, and this is kind of with his heritage, but just in general, I would think a good fish and chips with Rory.
Okay. And Bryson.
Oh, protein shake, obviously, with a side of beef. But, you know, his breakfast is pretty amazing with all the eggs and bacon.
Eggs. Yeah. All right. That's what I figured. Can we just take a moment to recognize the fact that the top three in our leaderboard right now through 13-ish holes is Martin Keimer, Zach Johnson, and Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, big bombers there.
I didn't see that coming.
Roll the ball back, Dan. Yeah.
All right, so there's one more topic we need to hit on before we finish here, and it definitely continues this major theme, but because this year is so different, this is actually a major that's unlike any others, because not just is there no fans watching at home due to the paywall, there's no fans there to cheer them on. Do you think this is kind of a weird major win? Does it have a lesser value because there are not fans there to add pressure?
I'm going to insult all San Francisco Giant fans right now to say they're in the right city for an asterisk, because Barry Bonds, any record he has an asterisk because his head grew 17 sizes. No, I don't think it has an asterisk. I think in some ways golf is harder for these guys because they don't have the fans finding the ball for them. We don't necessarily see that in the featured groups on TV, but I don't think so. I think the only person that it possibly helps to have the fans there in a huge way as Tiger. I know that's crazy considering the loud crowds, but that guy will never lose a ball. There will always be something found. I mean, they moved a boulder for him.
How about a guy like
I don't think there's an asterisk, but I get it. I know that people are putting it out there. And I think if Bryson wins, we're going to hear that's all we're going to hear is that there's an asterisk because there were no fans.
What about Brooks Koepka? Do you think he still gets up on the major hype without people there to make noise?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, his story of winning would be a great one going three-peat.
Yeah. Do you think this major for a guy like Tony Finau, who has struggled to close, do you think it becomes an easier experience for him?
Well, I mean, there hasn't been fans the last 5 weeks that Tony's been in contention heading to Sunday. And his Sunday rounds rival what we see at the local Muni. So
if at first you don't succeed, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to say a Tony Finau fan. I'll just say that I think there's very few people better for golf than Tony Finau. He's a family man. He is an unbelievable athlete. He spends time with the fans. He hits it all freaking mile. Like everything about Tony Finau says, let's go on a run and win 12 majors in a row. How great for the game would it be? And it's stupid to not mention minority because I know that's, you're not supposed to talk about that stuff in today's society, but that's good for the game of golf. So I think that Tony Finau winning is so good, but my goodness, he works banker's hours.
What do you think about Tony getting upwards of 205 mile an hour ball speed off a drive and no one really talking about it the way they talked about Bryson?
I think that it's two reasons. First, I think that Tony's always been kind of a long hitter, whereas Bryson made the giant transformation to become that way. I also think there's a large segment of the world who doesn't have any idea who Tony Finau is, which is sad because of his athletic abilities. But he can hit it a mile, and I think you're going to start seeing him take a different path.
I hope he does. I remember reading his upbringing story. It's a fascinating one, definitely different than a lot of these guys who are out there. It truly is an impossible resulting success story.
I'm going to ask you a question to throw you up. Who's going to have more career earnings, Tony Finau or his family member in the NBA?
Tony Finau.
You better start working Sundays.
I'm optimistic, man. I've always been a Tony fan. And, you know, I remember when he took that trip that fall during the Masters week, I was so ready for him to break through there and to watch his ankle do what it did was so disheartening because I think he was too. It's like every time he gets close, something happens, whether it's mentally or physically, that just puts him out of it. So I'm rooting hard for him this weekend.
He's such a great story in every single way. I'd love to see him do well. And speaking of, this course sets up well for him.
So I'm really bummed about the hamburger for JT comment. I think I'm going to reel on that all weekend. And I'm hoping that
you do what you did to me. I'm still reeling from those answers.
I'm not a food association guy at all. I had enough time. I had a hard enough time talking about nachos for a pre-major food fest, you know. But you know what? That's what I get for bringing you on. You always like to talk food just as much as you love golf, which is pretty cool. So, Josh, thank you so much for participating this week. We'll have to listen back and see whether we even want to invite Rob back next week or whether we'll just, you know, go do our merry thing.
Would you call that going off course?
Off course on off course. Of course. don't forget to follow me on social media, Canada and Golf on Twitter. Josh, are you JB at THP?
I think I should know this. I think it's JB underscore THP Golf.
Okay.
And we got to give out Rob. It's Rob Miller time. You got to follow Rob Miller time.
And off course THP. Make sure to give us some love out there. I hope you guys are continuing to enjoy these episodes as much as we are in creating them.
Josh, throwing something out there. If they've made it this far and we're something nearing 40 minutes or so into this show, the first person who listens to this, who goes on our forum in this thread, wherever they are, and tells me the food that Justin Thomas is, I'll send them a prize.
Do you mean up? Does the answer have to be better than mine was?
Yes.
Okay. So it can't just be like mac and cheese.
Correct. So we're going to find out if people actually listen to the end.
I'm starting to think mac and cheese would be a pretty good idea. I don't get a redo. It's fine.
Yeah.
JB, thanks again, man. It's always a blast. And to everyone else out there, if you play golf this weekend, play well and enjoy it.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.